Loving God, loving people. Welcome to Shiloh Church in Oakland, California. Here's today's message from Senior Pastor Javier Ramos.
Today we're going to talk about connected. Actually, today I was going to talk about worship, and then the Lord said, no, do it next week, because the week after that we're going to talk about sanctification, and God's just building and building and building. And what I want you to do is live aware of whatever God is doing in your life. And don't let issues cause any stop from what the Lord wants to do in you. Let me tell you something, in case you didn't know it, in this room is a room full of people with issues. I can guarantee you that every person in this room has an issue. Right now, every person. Are there any perfect people in the house without any issues? Praise the Lord. First service, we had one. We took them out and we stoned them for lying. I'm just kidding. They had an issue. They lied in the house of the Lord. We've all got issues. So I want you to think about that. Even Mary, as we kind of prefaced a sermon today with this life of a person with all kinds of issues. She had family issues. How many of you got some Marthas in your life? They're always ready to say, well, look at Mary. Look at Mary. Right? You got religious folks in your life. And here we see Mary, though she went through this process, she came to a place of worship and to a place where she saw the resurrected Jesus. And I believe God doesn't just want you to welcome Jesus into your life as a Christian. I believe he wants you to experience and to live life with a resurrected Savior, empowered by the Holy Spirit. But it's important that we live connected. Tell your neighbor, you got to be connected. You've got to live connected. If you do not live connected, you will miss out on what God has for you. And when I say connected, I'm talking about connected to the body of Christ, to the family of God, to the people of God. And I know, I'll be the first to admit, Shiloh is a challenge for that. Because if you look around, you got all kinds of people. And it's not just the obvious, you know, people of every race and every age. We got people of all kinds of different backgrounds. We got Baptists. We got Pentecostals. You got Methodists. You start picking all those kinds of religious folks in one room, oh boy, it gets dangerous. We got Catholics. We got Wowa, who's a Baptocostal. We got blends of all kinds of stuff. But what we also have is, I believe, we all have a heart to see Jesus. We want to see a risen Jesus. We want to experience Jesus. And I believe the Lord has set himself up in your life right now for you to encounter Jesus. He set himself up right now. And not just experience the river of God and that freshness and that thing that comes and cleanses us and cleans us and changes us. But I believe he's come to bring even a double portion into your life in this season. So if you have your Bibles, if you could open them up to John 4. You all may know this scripture. It's an amazing story. And it's all the story of the Samaritan woman. And the Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John. You always have religious folks in your life, okay? They're there for a reason. They're there to make you who God's called you to be, amen? You need that. I want you to hear that. You need that. You need every type of person in your life. You need people that love you, and you need people that hate you. You didn't like that word right there, huh? You need that. You need that. Those people that are jealous of you and those people that look down at you. You need that to be who God's created you to be. You think when John the Beloved, he called himself that. Remember, Jesus never called himself that. Jesus never called John the Beloved. John called himself John the Beloved. I can guarantee you that was a dig at Peter. He was trying to get Peter fired up. He liked every time Peter cursed. So he said, John the Beloved. I had a grandfather who cursed. And anytime we'd run down the hallway, he'd start cursing. I'd start laughing so hard. I'm one of those. I'd just start laughing so hard. So I'd get all of my younger cousins to run up and down the hallways just to get my grandfather mad. He'd get mad. He'd get out of his chair. And he'd start cursing words I can't say at church right now. The Lord's clean. I don't even remember the words because the Lord has purified my mind and my heart. But it was so funny to me that I would laugh. But we need that in our lives because God uses all that to make us who he's called us to be. Do we like it? No. But do we need it? Yes. And we can't let those things be the things that hinder us from moving forward. That's why the enemy, the very first thing he attacks in your life is relationships. The very first thing, those relationships that matter to you so much, the very first thing the enemy will attack in your life, I guarantee you, today you'll hear a word, you're going to say, I'm going to step out, you're going to step out of here, and you're going to get a text, you're going to get a Facebook message, you're going to get a tweet. Now that he's got all kinds of avenues he can use to get the message to you. You're going to read a billboard, you're going to see an opinion, and it's going to bend you in a way that's going to keep you from moving forward. Amen? God is not looking for the ideal. He's looking for those that want to live connected. He's looking for those that are saying, Lord, here I am. Use me. I give myself to you. So here we see the Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John. Although in fact, it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. And when the Lord learned of this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. Tell your neighbor, change of plans. How many of you like change of plans? Yeah, not a one of you. Nobody likes when the plans get diverted. Do you think the disciples like this? No. They had plans to do some camping, some fishing, but Jesus says, no. We now got to go through Samaria. Don't you hate it when your trips get all messed up? Pastor Nina's gone right now on vacation because she had a change of plan. Her foot broke. She was going to go on a cruise. And she had a change of plan. And now when she's in San Diego, I'm like, San Diego cruise. She said, yeah, and it's not a good change of plan. But God's using doing something. Amen? And so when the Lord learned of this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Let me jump back to 5. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar. Now let me tell you, the Jewish folks did not like Samaria. Because back, you see, when the Assyrians were in rule, they had kicked all of the Jews out of Israel. And the ones that were left there went to Assyria and began to mix. And you had mixed interracial relationships. So you had Jews hooking up with Samaritans, and they became the Samaritans, or Syrians, and they became Samaritans. So Jews believed anybody that was mixed or had any bit of Syrian in them was unclean, even the dirt in their cities. So if a Jew, so by Jesus and the disciples walking through Samaria, it made them ceremonially unclean to enter the temple. They will now have to go through a cleansing process in order to be able to enter a synagogue. And so this was a big deal. And so what we see here is Jesus setting up an opportunity. Remember earlier, I told you, I believe Jesus has been set himself up to encounter you this season. This is the hour for God to move in your life. Tell your neighbor that this is the hour God wants to move in your life. Amen. So now he had gone to the Samaria. So he came to the town. He came near the plot of ground Jacob had given his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. I want you to get this idea. Here is Jacob's well, and here is the living water well. So you got a well sitting on a well. You've got double portion set up now for this woman. Now the disciples missed this out. If you keep reading, you see the disciples took off. They left. The Bible says, and when they came, and when the Samaritan woman came, Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? And then in parentheses, in verse 8, it says his disciples had gone into the town to buy some In-N-Out hamburgers. They were more worried about what was going on in their lives that they missed this divine opportunity. They missed this opportunity to connect with God in an amazing way. In an amazing way. The Samaritan woman said to him, you are a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. So this is all that background I just told you about. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Does Jesus care what people think? No. Why do we? Why do we live? We allow our emotions and our feelings to be dictated by what other people say and think. We are part of a different place. Amen. We are connected to God. So when we get caught up in the ways of the world, we are now stepping out of where God wants us to be and the authority he's giving to us, and we're slumping ourselves down into a fight with the enemy that we got no business fighting. All we got to do is say, enemy, get out of here in Jesus' name, and he's gone. Now, I know some of you are scrappers and you just like to fight once in a while. Come on, how many of you just like getting into a fight once in a while? Come on, raise your hands. Come on, I know there's a lot. Come on, raise your hand. I mean, you're one of those. You're like me with my grandfather. You're just like pushing buttons and getting people riled up. And so here he was, you know, he gets us fighting and you just want to fight and you don't need to fight. You need to just tell him, this is who I am. You got to start, man, then we need to take it to God in Jesus' name. Amen? Why are you drinking with me? And Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God, I want you to hear that right now. I believe that's the word for each one of you right here. If you only knew the gift of God, the gift God has for you right now. If you only knew the gift of God and who it is that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. See, sometimes our ask is too low. You know, you're asking to get by. You're asking for healer. No, God's saying, ask a little higher. I am the living water. Pray that I not only heal you, but pray that I heal you so that you in turn can begin to pray and use that healing as a testimony for others to be healed in Jesus' name. See, God didn't save you just to save you. He saved you so that you would become a conduit of the glory of God and bring the kingdom message to the world. He didn't save you just so you could go around and say, I'm saved and you're going to hell. Because there are a lot of people going to hell. And as long as we live in our church and we have praise services and we never come into that place of worship, of complete abandonment, because remember, you can never worship two things at one time. The Bible says you can't serve two masters. You'll love the one, you'll despise the other. You can never be in that place. So until we come to that place of worship, we will never see God do what he wants to do in our lives. Amen? God wants to do something amazing in our lives. And he wants to use you uniquely. So stop looking at who other people are and what they have. You need what they have. Amen? You need what they have and they need what you have. Imagine if my body was just a bunch of big toes. We'd have issues. Right? We'd go nowhere. We'd say nothing, be kind of ugly, have some fungal issues maybe, depending on your big toes. But it wouldn't be good. But every part of my body needs every part to do what it's been called to do. We need to live connected. A baby doesn't live in a womb just for fun. It's warm and toasty. I don't want to go. There's a time for it to be born, but while it's connected, it is becoming what it was intended to become. I have a niece, Esther. She lived to be, she was born at 29 weeks. Praise the Lord, she's now 15 years old and doing well, but they had told her that when she was born, they told us she may not live. And when she was born, I could fit her in my hand, right there. And they had to have a surgery on her aorta because her aorta wasn't fully developed because she was no longer connected to her mother. She needed the blood that her mom had so that she would continue to develop. And so they had to do a surgery, cut the top of the aorta, and they told her probably every couple of years she would have to have a surgery on that aorta, open heart surgery, every couple of years until she became an adult. She has not needed one surgery to this day. Amen? She's developed and grown. God is good. But the ideal was for her to live connected. That's what God wants you to live. He wants you to live connected to the body of Christ, connected to living waters, connected to what God has. He has set himself up at a well of double portion to bless you in this hour. But if you don't live connected, you will never see the blessing God has for you in this season of your life. Then she began to complain. Sir, the woman said in verse 11, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Right? That's all, some of us. God says, I want to do this. And you say, well, you can't. I'm not deep enough. I don't have all the tools I need. Who are you to be able to do that in my life? We get like Mary. And we start thinking that the circumstances and the situations aren't ideal. We forget what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 9, where he says, I, the Gentiles, even creation, it's all waiting for the glory of God to be manifested in you. He wants to show what he can do through you, through less than ideal. How many of you seen God, you do something in you and you walk away and say, that was not me. I mean, that should be our everyday life. God is setting us up each and every day for divine setups. He's setting us up so that when we step into a circumstance that's beyond us, he can move through us. I call my wife all the time and say, honey, I don't know what I'm doing in the room, but you wouldn't believe the table I was sitting at. And I never tell her, you're so lucky that you married such a smart man. She'll speak up and say, I know, I don't know what you're doing there either. No, she thinks, I'm actually right now in a really good place with my wife. I know Pastor Jules talked about a table he built. Well, you know, during President's Day weekend, my wife got an error on her Kenmore Elite dryer, F1 error. That's serious. You see an F01 error on your dryer? You know how much these dryers cost us? I think the used Honda Civic I bought my siblings when they were little cost me less than this thing. So what did I do? I said, I'm not buying another one of those again. These got to be good for 40 years. So I YouTubed it. And they told me how to fix it. I had to take the top apart, take the motherboard out. So you guys want to know what I was doing President A weekend? I was earning some brownie points. Amen and amen. So I took that motherboard out. I got a soldering iron and I got some soldering wire. And I love that guy. I can't remember his name. My wife told me go like him. Haven't liked him on YouTube yet. But I was on there. He told me how to fix that thing, put that thing on. She turned it on. She said, it is fixed. Woo! Then after that, then the Lord was setting me up. Because here you could say, hey, you know, you wasted your vacation. No, I've been earning brownie points. Then the refrigerator is dead. Had to take that apart, fix that, connect it. Now I got water and ice. And I'll tell you what, since then I've had steak and eggs. I've had chicken. I've had anything I want. What do you want, lovey-dovey? You want to see my text? Just for no reason, I love you with little hearts in the eyes. That's YouTube. It was a divine setup for me to get brownie points. And now she says, now I know why I married you. You're such a wonderful man. And I called my mom, said, see, you said why in the world she married me? This is why she married me. Come on. What are the setups? That was a divine setup. So I could get a little more connected to my wife. Amen. I got brownie points. I ask her anything right now. She'll do it. She'll do it right now. Right now. I mean, it's just, earlier on, I said, love, I'd like some tea. She said, okay, I'll put some honey in it for you. I mean, all because I watched YouTube and fixed a broken drum. See, we look at the issues of our lives and we think it's bad, but God is setting you up to give you some brownie points in the world so that people can say, you're the answer, man. You got the solutions, young lady. We need you on our team. Somebody was just thanking us in between service. We prayed for them because they're part of a nonprofit and they needed some money. They were short a lot of money and we prayed for them and we believed God would do something. Sure enough, three organizations came through and gave them $100,000. Amen. Why? Because God's people are there. Why don't you tell your boss, you know what you need? Let's pray about it. Well, you don't want to pray? I'll pray. Let's see what God will do. God wants you to go on the limb that way for him. Not to be like the disciples and now eating lunch. God was about to save a woman who was going to bring a whole city to Jesus. But they missed the opportunity. Bible says they even came back and asked Jesus. They didn't even ask. They just asked, why is he talking to her? And then a few verses down later, they said, Jesus, you want to eat? Well, he's still talking to this person that was going to bring the city for Jesus. All because they weren't connected. All because they separated themselves from a divine moment that God had. And see, we need to understand that we are people of purpose. And we've been connected with purpose. God has connected you. He wants you a part of his kingdom because the gifts you have for the body of Christ are vital. I want you to hear that again. The gift you have is necessary in this hour, in this world, in your region. God wants to use those gifts. And we need to live connected to one another. The moment you get disconnected is the moment you die. You want me to say that again? The moment you live disconnected is the moment you die. I think it was the Moors just telling me a story of somebody who got their finger cut off. Somebody was telling us a story. We were out with somebody about a relative who got their finger cut off. And the little boy was 10 years old who had accidentally cut off his mom's finger. And she said, honey, you're going to have to drive me to the hospital because I might pass out. And he's like, I've never driven a car. So they get there and praise the Lord, they're okay. And I asked, well, what happened to the finger? A lot of it died. Some of it was restored, but most of it died. Why? Because it wasn't connected. That's why the enemy wants to remove you from the body of Christ. That's why he doesn't want you connected. That's why he comes and puts opinions. Oh, I can't receive nothing from her. I can't listen to them. That's why he's going to put, there'll be Pharisees in the wings who offend you. You'll walk into church and somebody say, what you wearing? Come on. Isn't it true? I don't care what I'm wearing. I'm coming into the presence of the Lord. Just so you know, the dressing code at Shiloh Church is come as you are. Amen. Maybe I got some of you mad with that. Too bad. Amen. Now you're offended. Now God's going to deal with you. See, God's setting you up for victory in Jesus' name. What is it that God is saying right now to you? He wants you to live connected. He wants you to be a part. And we got a great story in Mark 10:46. You got blind Bartimaeus. And this is disciples again. Here, the disciples blow it with the Samaritan woman. And now we're off to blind Bartimaeus. And you all know the story. Blind Bartimaeus, he had heard about Jesus. How many of you came to Jesus the first time you heard about Jesus? Not a one, probably. It took time, and how many of you were really dense, and it took a lot of prayer and a lot of people to tell you about Jesus? Come on, raise your hand. All the dense people in the house say, oh yeah, oh yeah. Praise the Lord. Glad I'm not the only one. Amen. So here you have Blind Bartimaeus, and you see this story, and the Bible says he had heard about Jesus, then he heard Jesus. See, you got to hear about him for a little while. And if we keep it to ourselves, who is the world going to hear about Jesus about? It is you. It is your life. It is what God wants to do through you. And the Bible says that as he heard him coming, he began to yell out and scream out. That's why I don't worry about how people worship up here. Because if they got to do that to get with Jesus, do whatever you need to do to get with Jesus. I had to get me moved to Turlock, California. Have you ever been to Turlock, California? That's like one level above hell. Hence the name, Turlock. It was like that. I had to wind up in Turlock with an encounter with people I didn't even like to finally hear Jesus and give my life to him. It's not under the ideal circumstance. And I would tell you, if you're in an unideal situation right now, God wants to move. Did you hear me? If you are living in an unideal situation and circumstance right now, God has set you up for a miracle. God has set you up for breakthrough. God has set you up to be glorified in your life. And here Blind Bartimaeus is yelling and screaming, saying, here I am. And what does Jesus say? Look at how he's so good at teaching his disciples. He's told his disciples, the same ones that told him, shut up, be quiet, stop your yelling. He told them, go get Blind Bartimaeus. Can you imagine that? When they start talking, they thought they had it clear because he couldn't see. And they said, here, come and see Jesus. And he's like, oh, are you the guy who was yelling and screaming at me to shut up? Yeah, I blew it. I'm sorry. Jesus wants to meet you right now. How many of us have we pushed people away when God's saying, let them come close? Bring them into the house of the Lord. Bring them into this presence. Bring them into your living room. Bring them into peace and watch what I'm going to do. The Bible says Bartimaeus was healed. Amen? Oh, why? Because he had heard about Jesus and he decided now is the time to get connected. You and I don't change hearts, but you and I are conduits of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says nobody can change the heart of any man or woman. Only the Holy Spirit can. Will we allow ourselves to be that conduit, to live connected so that we can see God do miracles in our lives? Luke 6, 37 through 41. I'm just going to read verse 38 for you. Given, it will be given to you. I want you to hear this. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will it be poured into your lap. I want you to hear this last sentence in this verse, because we all know that part very well. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. If you look at the original translation, it's actually saying with the way you give, it will be given back to you by somebody else. I want you to hear that the blessing God has for you is in somebody else's hands. We all want it to rain down from heaven. I asked you already, how did you come to Jesus? How many of you had Jesus show up to you face to face? Now, they're doing that in Muslim. We got Daniel Wu here with RCMI, and I know that's happening in Muslim nations, and we're hearing great testimonies about that. But here in America, God's using you. You are the one that brings the message of Jesus Christ. Amen? And it takes hearing and hearing it over again. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. The way you pour out and give to others, there is somebody else that God's saying, give. And they've got some wisdom you need. They got a prophetic word for you that you need. They got some experience that you need. They might have the resources you need. They might have the network you need. But if you don't live connected with purpose, you will never see and experience the blessings God has for you. If you go home today after this service and just park yourself in front of Netflix and what's some of these shows? Stupid Is as Stupid Does. I don't know. Fuller House or whatever. Then guess what? Guess what? I'm messing with your Netflix account now, huh? You know, if that's what we end up doing, we're going to miss out on what God has for us. Oh, I'm too busy. I don't have time. Well, let me look at how much time you spend on Netflix or Hulu or Facebook or Twitter or YouTube or what's our priorities? To live connected and see God glorified. Let me tell you, God is setting the stage for a revival. But the Bible's saying, are we ready? Are we the right people? I believe we are the right people at the right time, and God wants to speak to them through you. Amen? He doesn't want us to be, as Pastor Violet used to say, he doesn't want us to be so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good. And he doesn't want us to be so earthly minded that we're no heavenly good. He wants us right in that the plumb line, in the sweet spot, in the presence of the Lord. Amen? Moving in the direction how God has. That's why it's so important that we live connected. There's a commanded blessing. Psalms 133, 1 through 3 says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil upon the head running down the beard of Aaron, running down to the edge of his garments. It is the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there, read this, for there the Lord commanded the blessing. There's a commanded blessing. There is where God wants you. Connected in unity, one with another. That's why the enemy would love to bring all kinds of issues and divisive things to keep us from seeing that anointing. And we all love using the anointing, but let me tell you, to produce anointing, it takes work. It takes crushing. The anointing is not produced without crushing. Crushing of opinions, crushing of ideals, crushing from what we want. It comes by looking at the Lord and saying, do whatever you want to do in me. Amen? That's the theme scripture of this whole series. Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Leave what's behind. Press towards the mark. Ephesians 5, God said it. I love this scripture. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother. You all know that. And be united to his wife, and the two shall become one. Exact same scripture, exact same words that God used with Adam. I want you to hear this now. We all know that well, but now read the next verse. I want you to read the next verse. The next verse says, this is a profound mystery. Paul 5 times said, this is a profound mystery in Ephesians 5. 5 times. What does it say in the next verse? This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. He's saying the first man came, Jesus said, my marriage is supposed to be a reflection of Christ's love for the church. So I have left something to cleave with her. I left my mama, I left all her house, I left enchiladas and refried beans and tamales. I left chicharrones and spicy food. I left that for potatoes and for green beans and salads and prime rib and scrambled eggs and earning brownie points for fixing dryers with FO1s. And I left that for this. And it's good. It is good. But you got to leave to cleave. I want to tell you, we are all living in a state of leaving and cleaving. You will never see the blessings of God if you're in a place of here and there. You can't live in between. You've got to leave something to cleave. I had to leave 576 Westfield Way and cleave to this lady. Amen? I had to leave. And the Bible set it up where Jesus, remember, When did Adam say this? In Genesis 2:24, right? And Moses Vey, I love the way he did it at our wedding. He said he put Adam to sleep, took a part of him out of himself and put it in her. Now remember, this is a mystery. That verse says this is related to church, right? And the body of Christ. Are you paying attention? You're hearing this. So there's a piece of me in her. She's got something of mine in her, and in her is something of mine. I need that. We need each other. Are you hearing me? We need each other. She's my wife. I'm not marrying any other one. I'm going to stick with the one I got, okay? This is it. We're in for the long haul. I tell her all the time, you're stuck. Do you want me to die young, all that? You know, no. She wants me to stay around for a long time, amen? As long as I fix dryers and washers, I'm cool. So there we are. Leave and cleave. Now, Jesus, remember, Adam was the first man. Jesus, the second man, right? And here Philip and Paul saying, this is a mystery. Jesus, the second man, had something he wanted to give us. He wanted to make us co-heirs. He wanted to graft us in. It was no longer blood and flesh. Remember, and when Adam woke up, he said, man, is the way Moses, they say, man. There is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. That's my people. You are my people. Listen to why. Jesus, the same thing. First man was put to sleep, woke up. Something of his was in her. Second man, Jesus Christ, hung on the cross, gave his life, was put to sleep, rose again like the first man, woke up. And now in us who have accepted him as Jesus, there's something of his in us. And every part, he's put a different gift. Gifts of the Spirit have been placed in each one of us. Anybody here who claims to have all of the gifts of the Spirit, you need to go start a cult somewhere because you're not right. Every one of us have a gift of the Spirit. And to have them fully functioning in the bride of Christ, the one that he went to sleep for and rose again for, we need to live together one with another. Amen? We need to live connected. Tell your neighbor, connected. You need to live connected. That's why when issues come up, what do we try to do? Run. Right? And what does Jesus say? He says he's the good shepherd. He'll leave the 99 for the one. When you see somebody run, you chase after them. The minute somebody says, oh, I'm doing okay, I'm taking a reprieve, don't call me. Guess what? That's when we call them. That's the enemy trying to get them alone and kill them and cause bitterness and disconnect them from the body of Christ. Amen? Tell your neighbor, you got something I need. Tell your other neighbor that you got something I need. Now tell the person behind you, say, I've got something you need. And it's $25. Here it is. Nobody said that. What a stingy church we have. Amen. Amen. What did Jesus tell his disciples when they came up? Verse John 4. He said, stop looking down and look up. Stop looking at the issue. Stop looking at the dirt. Stop looking at Samaria. Stop looking that you're hungry. Stop looking at the cares of this world and look up. There's something bigger God's doing now on this earth. Amen? Every eye closed, every head bowed. If you're in this room today and you're not sure if you're part of the bride of Christ, part of the family of God, if you're here in this room, unsure of that piece, every eye closed, every head bowed, could you raise your hand and just say, that's me? I don't know. I want to be a part. If you're either not sure or you know you're not and you want to be, you've fallen away, maybe you've disconnected yourself, and today the Lord's saying it's time to come back. Could you raise your hand? Can you say, that's me? Every eye closed, every head bowed. Just raise your hand. Don't raise your hand to me. Raise it to Jesus. Say, here I am. Amen, amen. I see hands. Come on. Just raise your hand to Jesus. I see more in the back, on the other side as well. Anybody else here in the middle? Anybody else over here on the right? Anybody else? Because we're going to pray a prayer today. You're going to ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. Amen. Repeat this prayer. Say, dear Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. I no longer want to live my way. I want to do it your way. I'm going to stop my style, my way, and I'm going to ask you to show me your way. Connect me to the body of Christ so I can learn, so I can grow, so I can become more like you. And forgive me for all my sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you do me a favor? Can you stand up? I want to pray for each one of you as we close. And I just believe the Lord's doing something in each one of you here. And I believe he's waking up some dreams. He's waking up some passions, even some limitations you've placed on yourself. The Lord would say to you today, it's time to stop doing that and press forward. Amen? Father, I thank you for every person here and the gift that they have. Father, I thank you that you've gifted each one with a gift that it's necessary this moment, this hour, not just in the body of Christ, but the world. There's people that don't know you that need to hear about the gifts, the testimonies, the stories of people in this room, Father. Help us to not live disconnected. Father, connect me like never before. I pray, Father, that whether you're calling people to be in a life group or maybe life group leaders or pathways, take pathway classes, Lord. Maybe be involved in a men's ministry or a couples ministry or women's ministry, whatever the case may be. Father, I pray we're going to step out in faith and we're going to make you the priority. See, true worship always makes Jesus the priority. So right where you're at, can you lay hands on the person next to you and let's just pray the blessing of God. Father, I pray that this will be a week of encounter. Father, I pray that they, my brother, my sister, is going to hear the audible voice of God. Father, I pray against weariness. I pray against discouragement. I pray against shame. Father God, I pray revelation of even the victory we have in you. Father, that they will see their lives as one that's being lived out with the risen King. You're not dead. That tomb is empty. So, Father, we just give it all to you. Use us. Father, we just declare, we pray the same prayer Jesus prayed. Father, not our will, but yours be done in our lives. And I pray you bless my brother, my sister, Father God, with not just a good life, but that life you promised in John, life and life more abundant. I speak the blessing of God. Just set the stage. I just believe God wants to set the stage even for next week and the week after. I believe there's people God's telling you right now, you need to invite them. You got to bring them into the presence of the Lord. I believe there's gifts right here that the Lord's saying it's time to use that gift. It will never be ideal. No perfect people in this room. We made that clear in the beginning of the service. We're all just a bunch of people with issues who need Jesus and who God wants to be glorified even in our imperfect lives. The Bible says through our weakness, he is made strong. Father, I pray the strength of the Lord. I pray that the joy of the Lord will be my brother and sister's portion right now, Jesus. Right now, Father, I pray for clarity. I just believe God's going to bring a word to you. Even this week, as you open up the word and spend time in prayer, you're going to hear him say, it's time to get at it. Do it now. You're going to hear a now word that's going to catapult you into your purpose that God has for your life now. And I want to say this. I hear the Lord saying this. There's some people here that are worried about the purpose God has given you. You're saying, well, that's not what I want to do right now. You have some big dreams. Well, let me tell you, those big dreams, God put them there, and they're bigger dreams than that. But you will never get there unless you deal with what you got right now. The flask of oil, the staff, whatever you have right now. I remember when Pastor Melinda said, you want to help in the children's ministry? First thing I said was, no! Actually, I maybe even said, hell no. I was the oldest of five. I thought, I've dealt with kids all my life. I'm done, done, done. And the Lord said, well, why do you think that was? And I remember we started getting involved, and God just started using. And our desire has always been to just serve the Lord. Whatever you call me to do, I'll clean toilets. I'll pick up gum. I'll do whatever you want me to do, Lord. Because if you do it, he's preparing you for the great thing he has for you. So I challenge you right now, whatever it is, Lord, whatever it is, I'll do it. In the house of the Lord, whatever it is. Maybe it's the paint. Maybe you're one of those people. You know, maybe you complain so much because you don't like the look of the paint, because God's called you to paint the paint. He's made that a passion for you. Kills me every time I see the potholes in the driveway coming down the driveway. Well, maybe because the Lord wants you to get some asphalt and fill them up. Or maybe you don't like them on School Street. Maybe because God's telling you, call the city. Tell them right now, fix those pots. I'm a member of Shiloh. We're changing the world for Jesus and the city. Amen. But what is it God's calling you to do right now? God will never, listen to this, God will never shove you in a place and forget you. He wants to glorify you. He wants to be glorified through you so that you are glorified through him. Amen. Not just so you could say, look at me, look at me. He's not going to put you in that place right now. Otherwise, he's going to set you up for failure. He's a good God. There's nobody like God. Amen? So just say, Lord, whatever you want me to do right now, I give to you in Jesus' name. Amen?
Thank you for listening to this message from Senior Pastor Javier Ramos. We invite you to join us at Shiloh Church for worship, prayer, and the message of God every Sunday at 9 and 11 a.m. Or watch us online at shilohchurch.com.